Good evening and welcome to Influence Unplugged. I'm your host, Lindsay Watson, and super excited for tonight's episode. We have the amazing, the fantastic, the wonderfuls. Yes, the wonderfuls. You are welcome to use that if you'd like. But I'm so excited, everyone, to introduce Tyrone Russell and Kevin Green. They are the co-founders of Faces International and about 10 other things. So we're going to get into that, and that's why we are here. But I want to start off with Faces International and recognize and acknowledge that you all are the owners of the first ever Black-owned, full-service marketing and advertising agency in the history of Lehigh Valley with over 10 years of experience, having been planted here and supporting visions for so many organizations and businesses here in the Lehigh Valley. So welcome to you both.
Welcome to be here.
Sound really good.
I feel like I need a leotard for the wonderfuls. Right. Next time, I know. I got the W on the chest.
Yeah, I mean, sorry. This is just an audio podcast. Hey. So if we ever do a video, though, you're welcome to suit up.
I'll be ready to go.
Absolutely. So I consider you two friends. And in our community, because this show really is to honor African-American leaders, whether it's community leaders, business leaders, you all are both. And so hopefully we can cover as much as we can. But the reason why this show exists is to acknowledge our presence and our contribution and to give a space for that. So the community really gets to get a deeper dive into the who is doing the what.
For sure.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why don't we just start off with, what brought you to the Lehigh Valley? How did y'all get here? You could have picked any place on earth. And you travel all over the place, so you literally could have picked any place on earth. What brought you to the Lehigh Valley?
Man, for me, my uncle. So when I left school, my uncle was living here since like the late 90s. And the only thing I knew about the Lehigh Valley was the buffet on 145 MacArthur Road and Dorney Park.
So
came to see my uncle, we'd hit the buffet, and if it was summertime, we'd hit Dorney Park, and that was kind of all I had of Lehigh Valley. But it was leaving school and just didn't want to move to Connecticut, where my mom was at that point. So I was like, I have one other family member, so his couch was it for me. So that's actually what got me here.
Wow. And when was that? How long ago was
that? That was 2007.
All right. Do the math for me.
Yeah. So that's I'm going on 18 years now in the Valley.
18 years in the Valley.
Yeah.
How about you, Ty?
Originally from San Diego, California. And I actually came through the Valley, I want to say in 2002. I went to school upstate New York, Colgate University, which is in the same conference as Lehigh. And I came here for a track meet, a Patriot League track meet. And we drove up over 378. And I looked at those houses, being from San Diego, I looked at them and said, I will never in my life live in a place like this.
Never.
There's no way. It just looks old. It's something that I'm not used to. I want stucco on my buildings. I want grass. You know, I don't want wide streets, so on and so forth. But once I graduated from Colgate, I ended up going to Shippensburg University, working in residence life, and got an interview for Lehigh University to be in their residence life department. So it was between Lehigh and George Washington down in D.C., and I decided Lehigh because it was close to New York City, where my girlfriend at the time was. So I said, you know what? This would be a nice place, nice, comfortable place to be, you know, hour and a half away from where she is. Mm-hmm. Close enough to get in contact, but far enough to get away if we ever have issues. So, yeah, Lehigh University.
What's caused y'all to stay?
I think the overview is life. You know, life starts going. You know, as Ty kind of said, you know, you kind of see a place and maybe it's not the ideal place at first. I think we both said that. And then you start to see its value and then you start to put roots down. You know, so I think for me, it's, you know, it's family, it's life, it's business. You know, it's those different things. You know, the Lehigh Valley still presents itself as a region, you know, and how I've always looked at things that way. You know, growing up in northern New Jersey, right outside of New York, we looked at it as the tri-state area. And I know every area that has three states next to it, but there's only really one tri-state area. And that's, you know, at the end of the day. I've always looked at it like that. So, you know, when you can, you know, think about, you know, in 2-hour drive, you can get to two major cities and do so much and, you know, still got access to, you know, the wilderness. You can still get to beaches and things of that sort. I think in itself as just a region, it brings a lot of opportunities when you think about all the life things that start happening, especially when you think about family and stuff.
Yeah.
No, I would agree. I I thought it would be a good place just to lay roots. You go to a place like Colgate, which has 2 stoplights, then you go to Shippensburg, a place that probably has 6 stoplights. Mm. You find Lehigh Valley, it's like a city, right? It's not San Diego, but right. It's a comfortable city in between. So going from a place where you don't have to lock your doors like a Hamilton, New York, to a place like the Lehigh Valley that has a good mix and good proximity to big city, it was like this, if you're going to live somewhere and start a family, this type of location will probably be perfect.
I love that. So we've got our personal establishment, which is great. Right. So you have a marketing agency, but historically your skill sets and your careers growing up was not that.
Right. No, not directly. No.
I love that. So we have in our industry, staffing and industry, transferable skill sets. Mm-hmm. So can we talk a little bit about that and what led to FACES being established?
Mm-hmm. So if I think about skill sets, I think the biggest transferable skill sets, and I think that's something that Ty and I had in common, is that we've lived in a few different places, mm-hmm. right? Because myself being born in Jamaica, lived in New York City, lived in obviously Pennsylvania, lived in New Jersey, mm-hmm. And just moved around and seen all these different folks, all these different types of people, different socioeconomic situations, you know what I mean, different ethnic backgrounds. Mm-hmm. It's, I think when I think about just, you know, that one side of our company now that does, you know, brand development work, my life has given me an opportunity to see how many, many different people show up in spaces, right? Mm. Even though we're all in the same space, just like we're sitting in this room today, we all show up a little bit differently. We all have different insights and passions that brought us here. We all see the room differently, right? We're looking out the same window, but we all see it differently. And I think that is one of the biggest skill sets that you need in any type of brand development, is that, you know, you have to be able to see the world a little bit outside of just how you see the world. And be able to bring in other perspectives, because that allows you to really start to understand people and how they will respond to things and who we really are, because we're more than our demographics, right? We're more than our age, our race, our sex, you know, and things of that sort, you know, where they call them the psychographics. You know, there's so much layers to people. And a lot of times that's not on our outside facade, you know, so.
Yeah. I would add that getting into that field of transferable skills, I was a director of multicultural affairs at Lehigh University, and we always used to say we're ultimately a small college campus on top of a large campus or inside of a large campus, because an office like multicultural affairs, you're putting on programs, you're telling students who otherwise wouldn't come to the college that this might be a place for you, right? You're helping people feel comfortable. You're helping them establish this connection to an organization that may not exist if you don't exist. So looking at some of the things that we were doing at Lehigh, from putting on large-scale programs, you know, with folks like Angela Davis and Nas, to doing small-scale programs, which were big on that campus, like a dance fest. Mm-hmm. We were constantly coming up with ways to make sure the campus was attractive to people. And as I was digging deep into that, I said, you know what, this what I do here is bigger than Lehigh University. Mm-hmm. And I remember working at Northampton Community College, and my supervisor, her name was Carolyn. She brought me into her office and she said, Tyrone, I don't know if this industry is ever going to be able to hold you. And I said, what do you mean? She said, you're just so much bigger than what you do on a college campus.
Wow.
And that stuck with me when I got back to Lehigh. It was still in the back of my head that this old white lady saw something in me that was bigger than the job that I was doing. Mm. Right. And I think that really planted a seed inside of me to say there might be something else out there. And then had opportunity to connect with Kevin and Daryl Addison and Brandon, and started to understand what that really meant on a large scale. So, you know, a little bit of what was like born inside of me, and then someone else giving me that push saying, now this place isn't going to be able to hold you. I know you're not going to exist here in a long time. So for a long time was significant.
I love that. And I love that you two really represent, and I'm going to just say it, the American dream to me.
Yeah.
Where it's taking advantage of all the experiences that you've had and designing your own platforms to be able to share those experiences, help others, help the businesses, help the communities through the experiences you've had that have led to. And I'm just talking about FACES, y'all. I'm telling you, there's like 10 other things. We're not going to get to it all. But FACES has many faces. Mm-hmm. So can we talk a lot about the divisions? I'm going to say it again, James. So FACES has many faces. Can you talk just a little bit about the different divisions within this particular organization?
Yeah. And, you know, the I think the great thing about our evolution, not just in our careers prior, to our lived experiences is just, you know, in the last 12 years of running this business, our evolution in the business, right? Yeah. And, you know, when we started this whole thing, it was marketing, advertising, development, and events. And when we say development, not in the nonprofit world, you know, staff development. And over the years, we've, you know, had different renditions of it. And the funny thing, the last 6 months, we've been combing through our past because we're building out and strategically building out our future, right? What the next 10 years is going to mean for us and what we want as, you know, adults, as men, mm-hmm. But also what we want in our careers as well. And, you know, today, you know, when we look at Faces and what Faces will continue to evolve into is a business consultancy, right? It's an integrated business consultancy that provides folks with strategic consulting, strategic planning, personnel development, and brand development. We've learned over the years that you want to be very effective when you're working with folks, and you want to be very, very tactful within that situation. And our skill sets that we brought to the table and our experiences are really allowing us to hone in to say what do we feel is the most valuable thing that or an organization can utilize, but also what's the most valuable thing in the sense of the work that we do our best and really, really focusing in on that. Because, you know, one thing is when you do hustle, you learn a lot of things, right? Which is what causes you to start a lot of things, right?
Come on, hustle.
So, you know, with that situation, you sometimes, no, really, to be honest with you, you got to hold yourself accountable to say, you know, hustle mentality is great because you know you'll get up and do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But hustle will definitely burn you out if you're not doing things that are going to compound to, you know, a sustainable practice that you can scale up and you can bring other people into and things of that sort. So it's been a beautiful journey to be a part of that. And it's also just it's an awesome place to see strategically what the next phase of this looks like and to be just as excited as the first day we sat around the table and created this whole thing. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's good energy with all these gray hairs in my head. So.
Yeah.
Salt and pepper.
It's a good blend.
Yeah, for sure. And it's crazy because it started out of a necessity, right? The way we've grown up is that whenever you get to a place, you make it what it is,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. My mother used to always say two things to me that I think talks about power and privilege, right? If we were to get into that side of the work we do, mm-hmm. She used to say, you don't do people like that, right? Mm-hmm. You don't do people like that. Whenever you have the ability to be better to people, you should be better. And that always talks to me about privilege when I'm in positions of power. But then the other thing she would always say is, so what you gonna do, homeboy? So I would complain. Come in the house complaining, and she would listen. And then at the end of it, she said, so what you going to do? Right? You're going to complain or you're going to do something?
That's good.
And I think that is the energy that we take on in Faces. So when we first got together talking, it was out of a necessity, right? Went to a place in the Promenades, got to the front door to try to go in and have a drink, and the guy grabbed my chain and said, you can't wear bling here, right? It was a white guy. And I'm like, damn, why would he call it bling, and why can't I come in here with this on?
Yeah.
Tucked it in. And then left after like 10 minutes because it was uncomfortable that I had to go through that. Then went to a darker part of town, right? A part of town that folks are like, you shouldn't go there. I'm like, well, this is what we do. So I go to that club, same night, get there, and the guy looks at my T-shirt, right, that I had on and said, you can't wear a plain T-shirt in here. And I said, it's not plain. It has stripes. And he took his flashlight out, looked at it, and said, oh, it does have stripes. You can go in. So I was thinking, where do people like me, where do we go in the valley, right? We're not who they think we are in the white establishment, and we're not who they think we are at the black establishment, right? So where do we go? So when we started brainstorming how we start our business, we said we need to find the businesses that want folks like us there, and we want to help them develop their product and their brand in a way that brings folks like us to their business. So when we started out doing events, it was because we wanted to do events at places that welcomed us in.
Yeah.
So we would take that business and make them our client, and then bring people in through an event and say, hey, come hang out with us here. And they didn't know they were our client, but we did. So we would work on developing their staff, making sure their staff knew how to work with different folks. And then we brought those different folks in to have a good time. And that evolved to us understanding that we were actually helping people create strategic plans in business, right? We were actually helping them deliver a better product to the industry. And taking our start to where we are now, it's nothing new. It's just an evolution of who we've always been, right? And that's what we're trying to tell people. And they're like, you've changed, you pivot. We're like, no, we've evolved, and that's different.
It's such a difference. And with that hustler's mentality, we have to. When we do something that starts from a need, right? A need that we have or that we see our community needs to have filled, we have to evolve. And that's what I love about the thought processes of entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. you know, we may be tempted to be stagnant, but if we just pay attention to those needs that continue to cry out, we can't remain there, right? Right? Mm-hmm. We have to continue to grow and evolve. Absolutely. And I love what you said also, Kevin, about FACE is really wanting to evolve as an integrated, I'm going to say that again, James. And I love what you said, Kevin, about FACE is evolving to become an integrated business solution in many different forms. Mm-hmm. But that, which you just said, Ty, the mm-hmm. integration of ethnicity mm-hmm. and culture
right.
is something mm-hmm. that we as Black and brown business leaders mm-hmm. have to make sure we continually prioritize. Absolutely. It's so easy for us. And I always say this, you know, I have friends of all diversity, ethnicity, right? Race, religion. Mm-hmm. It's easy for me. Mm-hmm. I love being around different people, mm-hmm. but so many people here aren't used to that. Mm-hmm. And so it does take us to introduce that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think you all do an amazing job. So you're the first ever, FACES is the first ever of its kind in Lehigh Valley, but you also are owners of another first in another state.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, let's jump in. The Cleveland School of Cannabis. So, one of those situations, right? Again, the assumption is being Jamaican that I would have looked at cannabis industry like it was something that was appealing, right? I remember in the beginning telling people, hey, you know, this is what we're getting involved in, and we have this opportunity and we're gonna take advantage of it. It was something in an industry I never even took a look at, because growing up on the East Coast, especially, you know, New York and things of that sort, and New Jersey, you're just like, oh man, that's not coming this way, mm-hmm. you know, nowhere soon. And then living in Pennsylvania when this opportunity came, we're like, not a chance. I'm like, that's what they get to do in California, you know?
Right. That's California thing.
That's California stuff. Really? You know, they get to live different over there, you know? So, when this opportunity came to itself, you know, really what it was on the shell of it, on the outside, the facade of it, it was, hey, you know, it's cannabis and all those types of things. But really what we looked at it as was it was one, a school, in Tyrone's background, not only working in colleges, but also, studying in, you know, personal and school development. And then obviously, you know, my background in, you know, marketing and business development, it was a real opportunity to create something that was taboo. And really, I looked at that point, make it legitimate, you know, make people mm-hmm. really respect it. Mm-hmm. And that was the challenge, right? That was really what the challenge was. And it was one of the real first times where the keys were pretty much handed to us and said, hey, mm-hmm. take this from where it is now, which is three or so months into the school doing anything, to, you know, getting it nationally accredited. So wow. It was one of those things where I think for us, it just continued to cement why we work so well together, and our entire team works so well together, because mm-hmm. our skill sets, where we fall in, we really fall into those areas really well. And then where the gaps are, or where you say the areas where things intersect, we have those other intangible skills that it intersects very well. So this clear handoff, we can help each other on other sides to fill those gaps really, really quickly. We create a better understanding for each other. When you're just thinking about all the different parts of running a school and being able to understand the importance of every single part of it, mm-hmm. To make it a whole, mm-hmm. and to make it work, to provide it to a student that's going to say, yeah, I want to take a chance, not really only just on this industry, but at that point, really, they're taking a chance on us to right. say, I'm going to take a chance on you
yeah.
to take a chance on myself, to take a chance on this industry. And there was a lot of things in that process that needed to get done to really cement something like that, and to do it in Ohio. To be honest with you, so it's not like we took it easy on ourselves and then say we're
going to jump right in Ohio.
To be us and do this.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know, I can't even articulate the amount of personal development, professional development, skill development, understanding of so many different layers that happened through that mm-hmm. process of really diving in and taking what we knew that we mm-hmm. could do. And then learned a lot along the way and was able to accomplish, you know, just some really great things and a lot of first in that end, right? There's not only just from it being a school, but really, you know, as in itself, like changing the realm of how people, one, looked at schools for cannabis education,
okay.
The standard of quality of education that Tyrone led and provided through the school, the fact that we were convincing, we put up the first advertising for any type of cannabis in the state, mm-hmm. some really on the East Coast period, making partnerships that were unknown, you know, working with legislators, working with politicians, just really, really normalizing and doing what we do. And really just, as we said, is like, hey, we're running a school and cannabis is just our content in itself. So we kept those standards and we were really able to show folks that, you know, this was here to stay. And this is 2017. So it's a complete different day and age what it is now when, you know, we drive around and there's dispensaries all over the place.
Yeah. Right.
It's getting normal and we're kind of like getting numb to it in itself. But 2017 was a whole different marketplace at that point.
Yeah. So you've had influence that goes above and beyond your school. You're seeing the impacts of the standards y'all designed and created. Mm-hmm. Whether other dispensaries know it or not, a lot of it was introduced through you all is what I'm hearing. You were counting it first, and I was trying to keep up. I stopped counting at 8. I was putting my fingers up for everything you said. I said, Lord, let's put legislation and politicians on one finger. But we were up to 8.
Right.
So, okay, Ty, I'm going to give you a moment to speak to that, too. But for everyone listening, again, transferable skill sets, when you have things in your basket that you can turn and use to support your communities and continue to evolve and grow, Ty and Kevin truly are the example. So I'm hoping that everyone's hearing that as y'all are telling your story.
Yeah. No, I mean, Kev covered it all when we talk about the Cleveland School of Cannabis and just the risks that we took in order to pursue that. The amount of times we were on planes, like folks look at us like, oh, you're always on a plane, right? It must be joyful. And I'm like, you have no idea.
Mm.
It was joyful for about 6 months.
Talk about it.
Right?
Talk
and then after
about
that,
it.
You're like, man, I want to sleep in my bed, right? I want to know what I'm doing in the morning, right? But it's really a grind.
Yeah.
And I think at times folks who get into entrepreneurship, they think it's supposed to be easy, right? They think a door is just supposed to be open for them because they have a great idea. But what we learned from the Cleveland School of Cannabis is, like, no matter how grand the idea, you know, is, you still have to grind out because everyone doesn't see what you see.
Right.
They can't. Everyone doesn't hear what you hear.
Yeah.
They can't. They may not even understand it if they do.
Yeah.
Right. But there's something you almost have to be kind of ignorant to be an entrepreneur to the voices and the noises to say, look, I don't understand what you're saying when it's you say impossible or when you say it's not, you know, we can't do it. I had kids from Lehigh following me on Instagram saying, man, I can't believe you did this. You said what you were going to do and you've gotten it done. So just think about the team that it takes and the folks you work with and trusting in them to do their part in order to do your part is tremendous.
I love that you brought that up. Being an entrepreneur, I think, is over-glorified on social
Absolutely.
Media.
Absolutely. So easy, right?
It's so easy. Just right. I'm just going to leave my job with no savings and no structure. And no, everyone. Right. People always say, well, what's advice do you have? And I always say to people, save your money as much as you can and then keep saving even when you think you don't have to.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't live a life of a 9-to-5er as an entrepreneur.
Right.
You got to make sure that you have the space to reinvest and to invest and to reinvest and to hire and expand and to grow. And also, not everyone is built to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you said, I think, is so powerful, Ty. You almost, and the way I say it is, I'm almost foolish enough to just keep trying. Like
right.
at some point, you just have to shut out all the noise and say, I'm either going to win or I'm not, but I'm going for it all the way.
Yeah.
And I can't listen to anything else.
True.
And that is, but these are skill sets that grow and evolve over time as entrepreneurs. What's next for y'all?
What's next?
And you know, because I want to make sure we're talking about the history and who you are, but also what's next or what do you want to see happen next in this community in the Lehigh Valley as entrepreneurs of color?
So if I think about just what's next for us in one term, it's growth, right? It's growth on every level, right? It's growth on, one, how we see things, right? Because how we see things is how we evaluate things to make the best decisions around that. And, you know, I don't think our lens has been any clearer. There's something, and I don't know if everyone gets this, right? And I'm reading this book, Relentless, right now. And he talks about being in the zone. And I love how he tries, I don't want to say tries, he does try to relate it to other occupations, but obviously it's Michael Jordan's trainer, and he trains a lot of athletes. And being an athlete, I can understand what the zone means, right? Like when you literally can't hear anything, nothing else matters, and you're just, everything is clicking. And everything you see, everything you do, you're just moving at your best right now. And it really, really feels like that. Listening to him say that, I'm driving, you know, to Philly on Friday, and I'm like, And I'm listening to the zone, and he's, you know, talking about, you know, even the teacher that wants every kid to pass. And I think about the times, I'm thinking about Thursday, him and I in a space with 45 teachers at Bethlehem School District, and we're talking about turning from communication to culture, and the ability for us to have a conversation 1 week before, develop the training, be apart from each other for a couple days, get in the room, a quick huddle, talk about what we're going to do and how we're going to chop it up, and then go ahead and seamlessly move it through without dropping a beat. It's like, that is our zone, right? Mm. And I know the way that we evaluate things, the way that we see things, the way that we pick up on the nonverbal cues, right? Our way of communication, the culture that we've built,
yeah,
you know, with each other, is like, that's all I'm looking forward to is growth, because we're seeing things really clear right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm really, really excited for growth, right? In every aspect of it. Growth as a person, growth as a business owner, you know, growth as a leader in whatever sense that means, you know, to myself and to folks that I get a chance to impact. And then growth for, you know, what I call my bubble, right? You know, all I can do first is do everything I can to put myself in position and then position the bubble that I have and the folks around me, yeah, and be able to make a major impact on them.
Yeah. Come on, bubble. Yeah. Okay, y'all. No, I'm hearing. You know what, yeah, I'm hearing? I'm hearing your culture, mm-hmm, yeah, even as y'all talk and, yeah, you're vibing back and forth. I love,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, for the Valley, I hope, yeah, the Valley. I hope the Valley takes a chance to really understand the seasoning that it got on all these streets here, man. Because the Valley got the seasoning here. It's just, are you going to put it in a pot? And right, if the Valley puts it in a pot, I mean, like, really put it in a pot and really heighten it and say, nah, you know, it's missing some sazon. That's what it's missing. I need a little bit more of that.
Season salt.
You know what I mean? Like, it needs a little bit more. Like, the Valley really, 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 really jumps into that and takes that on fully. The Valley becomes a place that's unstoppable, because it has a seasoning. It's sitting here. It's in the cabinet. It's on the shelves. It's on the streets. It's in the air. The Valley just has to fully really take it on and start to understand that that's what makes all the other places that you think that are great, great.
Period.
You know what I mean? That's why they're great.
Period. You know what I mean? Please, I hope everyone's tuning in to this. This is a great way of breaking it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great way. And we're here. We are literally on these streets,
yeah,
doing the work as best we can and as, mm-hmm, best as we're allowed in, yeah, when we're allowed in. Right?
True indeed.
And I love that you said that. Companies are 30% more profitable with diverse staff.
Mm-hmm.
30%.
Mm-hmm.
That 30% more profitable than all of your competitors. Just one company to really absorb and take that in,
mm-hmm,
can soar. And I love what you said, Kevin. All of the other areas in this nation where they're saying, wow, this is great. Well, we have all the ingredients here, mm-hmm, and we've been, mm-hmm, here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So why not make the most of integrated business solutions?
There you go.
See what I did there?
That's what I'm talking about.
Turning to you, Ty. So what's next in your mind, and what would you like to see next for the Lehigh Valley?
I think I'll first start. Kevin is right. Growth. Growth is growth for us as an organization. I think one thing I would like to see is that folks in our community start to understand what opportunity sounds, feels, and looks like, right? You know, we have dealt with as African-American businessmen, folks believing that we don't actually have a chance to speak our mind because of who our clients are. And it's the funniest thing I've ever heard, because all we do is speak our mind. We speak our truth. We're honest. We don't hold back. We understand when and where. Right.
Sure.
So that our words have power,
yeah,
versus just turning into background noise.
Yeah.
Right. But when we're serving particular folks in our community who don't understand that, they want the performative aspects of what you do to show them that you actually do something. But everything that we do is based in who we are and how we give people, put people in position to exceed, expand, grow, mm, along with us. Right. So it's funny when we hear folks say, do you need us to say something that you can't? We're like, what can't we say? Ask anybody we work with who you think we're not saying what we want to say.
Yeah.
Ask them how we are when we show up, right?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that in the future, our community starts to understand what strategy, what tactical movement looks like in business and in community growth and development, right? We're done with the performances. We're done with the performative actions. We're like, let's get to business and let's actually make things move. And we understand why. So my hope is that in the future, our community and the folks who are continuously serving understands the power of that and why it's critical that we do what we do and how we do it. what I want people to understand, other businesses to understand, is that faces can be their secret sauce. Like when they look to the bullpen and they're running out of options, they say, you know what, we know who to call. Right? We want them to say, we know who to make a private phone call to when we're straggling or we're shaking and and we need that insight or we need that scoop or we need that direction or that hard conversation or that strategy that we've been lacking. We know they're going to come in and get us right. So that's always been my dream, is that those folks who show up in the black suits and they come in, they got the suitcases, and they say, what do you need? Right? The Olivia Popes of the world, where they're not doing all the dirty stuff, but they're like, let us iron this out for you because you're making some mistakes. Right. That's what growth looks like for me, is large companies saying, this is who we call in and they get us right. And we pay the tab because it's worth it. Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, Lehigh Valley, y'all have heard it.
Yeah.
And I hope this helps to introduce or reintroduce everything that you all are doing for this community. Thank you so much, Ty and Kevin, for joining us tonight. This is Influence Unplugged. I am your host, Lindsay Watson.